Praise the Lord. Good to see you all tonight. Hallelujah. Don't you just love the presence of God?
Amen.
Amen. We'll let our youth be dismissed for the youth service. I didn't call them super kids tonight. I'm proud of myself. Hallelujah. And the rest of you can be seated. Praise the Lord. I feel like if I'm fishing tonight, I'm going to have to cast a long ways to get back to everybody, but I guess that's all right. That's where you want to sit. So, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are we good? Are we recording? All right. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm ringing a little bit. You see the one that says pastor? You can just turn it down a little bit. If I'm ringing, which I am ringing a little bit. Number 24, I think it is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Praise God. I'll let them figure that out. I'm excited tonight to share with you seven reasons why your healing is guaranteed. Is anybody excited to hear that tonight? I'm glad three of you are. The rest of you come on board with us. Praise God. Seven reasons why your healing is guaranteed. Amen. Healing is not a hit and miss thing. It doesn't have to be with us. It can be something that's guaranteed. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we'll get into the scripture. And the first one we're going to look at is in Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35 is where we're going to open up and look at first tonight. Hebrews 10:35, it says, therefore, Hebrews 10:35, therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. What has great reward? Your confidence. Our confidence has great reward. So if we'll allow our confidence to be built in God and in His Word, there's a great reward for our confidence. He says, don't cast it away. And so the purpose of this message tonight is to build your confidence. Praise the Lord. I've made this analogy many times. You know, the difference between a championship team and a losing team, and especially now in college, you know, there's a lot of times there's a big disparity in talent. You know, when Alabama plays, you know, Florida International, no offense if any of you went to Florida International, there's a huge disparity in especially in football, there's a huge disparity in talent there. And if any of you follow football, you know that's true. In the pros, there's not that much of a disparity in talent, really. And the difference between a championship team and a losing team, more often than not, is confidence. And you'll hear the announcers say, well, this team is playing with a lot of confidence right now. They've won six in a row and so on. So God wants us to operate with confidence. Amen? Praise God. So it says, don't cast it away. So this message is to build our confidence. Hallelujah. So if you're believing for healing and healing seems slow in coming, don't give up. Don't be condemned. This is to fortify you. This is to build you up so that you'll always be assured that healing is yours and that you'll always boldly claim your healing without hesitation. We don't have this scripture in the notes, but in Hebrews 4, the Bible tells us that we're to come boldly to the throne of grace. How are we to come?
Boldly.
We're to come. You can't say boldly weakly. Boldly. When you say boldly, we need to say it boldly, don't we? Boldly. Amen. There we go. We're to come boldly to the throne of grace. Amen. With confidence. We're to come before God's throne of grace, not with arrogance, not with in that way, but nonetheless with confidence, confident that He's going to grant us what we need. Come boldly to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need, His Word says. Amen? So God wants us to approach Him boldly. God wants us to have confidence when we come to Him. And so that's the purpose of this message tonight. I'm going to give you seven reasons why you can and why you should, and why you must be healed. Praise God. Why don't you say that? Say, I can be healed.
I can be healed.
I should be healed.
I should be healed.
I must be healed.
I must be healed.
Amen. Amen. So the first reason, reason number one is this. God is not trying to keep healing from you. He's interested in getting healing to you. God's not dangling healing out like a carrot in front of the mule, you know, just to, you know, keep it reaching and walking. Well, no, you get one more thing, and if you'll do this, no. He's not trying to keep it from us. He's trying his best to get healing to us. He's trying his best to get us in position where we can receive the healing that he's provided for us. Praise God. Acts 10:38 says this. It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing a few that hit the lottery, that hit the healing lottery. Healing who?
All.
Healing all. Healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. It was God's intent to bring healing to humanity. And he revealed that in Jesus. He's not trying to keep it from us. He's trying to get it to us. Jesus said, I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. So everything he did was an expression of the will of God. Everything he did was an expression of the will of the Father. And Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. So that tells us another thing, that Satan is the oppressor, but Jesus is the healer. Amen. Say that with me. Say, Satan is the oppressor, but Jesus is the healer. Amen. Praise God. So he's not trying to keep healing from us. He's trying to get healing to us. In Mark chapter 9, let's look at this. In Mark chapter 9 and verse 21, we read the story of the man who brought his son to Jesus' disciples to get his son delivered. He was demon-possessed, and his son was having these seizures, and he was in a terrible condition. And Jesus was not with his disciples at the moment, and he came back down the mountain and encountered this scene, and where the disciples are there, and the man's there, and his son is there, and so his disciples couldn't cast the demon out, and so Jesus said, "You guys need to operate in faith. You're a faithless generation," and so Jesus addresses the Father in verse 21. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And Jesus says, well, boy, if it's been going on that long, I don't know if there's anything I can do. I mean, if it only come on in the last week or two, we might be able to reverse it here, but this has been going on a long time. It's deep-rooted. It's deep-seated. I just don't think we can help him. Did Jesus say that?
No.
Oh, thank God. You need a good study for us sometime of just be look at all the cases where that Jesus healed, where people have been that way either from birth or for years and years. Amen?
Amen.
Over and over, we read in the Scriptures where not only Jesus, but we read it in the book of Acts as well, where folks were healed who had been in that condition their whole lives, crippled from birth, blind from birth, and Jesus healed them. Amen? So don't think that, well, you know, I've just had this so long, I just don't think. Don't ever think that. Don't ever think that. Today can be your day of deliverance. Today can be your day of healing. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so he said, how long has this been happening to him? He said, from childhood, and often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe. All things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Hallelujah. And guess what Jesus did? We won't take time to read the rest of the story. Jesus met that man right at his point of need, right at the point of where his faith was at. The man said, in essence, Jesus was saying, sir, it's not a matter of what I can do. That's already been established. It's not a matter of what I'm willing to do. What Jesus can do, everybody look this way, what Jesus can do and what Jesus is willing to do, it's already settled. He can heal us and he is willing to heal us. That's a settled fact. That's something that you ought to have settled as a solid foundation in your heart. It's already settled. What he can do and what he's willing to do, it's already settled. That's why when the man said, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us, that's why Jesus didn't even really answer him. He said, no, it's not a matter of what I can do. It's a matter of what you can believe. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And in saying that, he's inferring and he's saying, look, it's not an issue of what I can do. That's settled. And it's not an issue of what I want to do. That's settled as well. Amen? And so he says, so the man said, well, if it's a matter of me believing, then Lord, I believe. Yes, I'll jump on board here. I'll believe and help my unbelief. If there's any unbelief in me, help me. And Jesus did. Jesus didn't say, now go away when you've got all the unbelief out, then come back and I might help you. No, he met him right where he was at. He met him right at his point of need, right where he was at. And he led that man into faith, and his son was delivered and set free. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Other times Jesus, you know, the man came whose daughter had died, and came to Jesus, and they were on the way. He said, my daughter has just died, but if you'll come and lay your, or my daughter lies at the point of death, but you come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed and she will live. And Jesus went, was following him. And while they were on the way, the report came, your daughter's died, don't trouble the teacher, don't have him come, she's already dead. And Jesus heard that report, Jesus heard them tell the man that, and Jesus looked at him and said, don't be afraid, only believe. Only believe. Jesus said, I just need something to work with here, and that's your faith. Just keep believing, don't stop believing now. You're doing good, don't stop believing. It's just like Peter was walking on the water. And he was doing it. He was walking on the water to go to Jesus. And then he began to look at the circumstances and it began to sink. And Jesus cried out and said, Lord, save me. And Jesus pulled him up and he said, why did you doubt? You had a little faith. You were operating in faith. Just hold on to your faith. Amen? Too many times we abandon our faith too soon. The devil tells us, well, it must not be working, or well, you must need to be doing something else. And many times we're right on the right track and we're right on the verge of our miracle. We're right on the verge of our breakthrough and our victory, and we give up too soon. Just keep believing. Amen?
Amen.
Keep holding on. Hallelujah. Amen. And so that's reason number one. God's not trying to keep healing from you. He's interested in getting healing to you. Reason number two. In the finished work of Jesus Christ, your healing has been purchased. It's finished. It's already finished. In the finished work of Jesus Christ, your healing has been purchased. Isaiah 53 tells us about that. Isaiah 53 verse 4, it says, surely he has borne our griefs. The word griefs can also be translated sicknesses. Surely he has borne our sicknesses and carried our sorrows. The word sorrows can also be translated pains. Surely he's borne our sicknesses and carried our pains. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. Verse 5 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. Aren't you glad that he was? He was bruised for our iniquities. What is he doing? This scripture is telling us, Isaiah is looking forward 700 years forward into time, and he's prophesying. The spirit of prophecy is on him, and he sees what Jesus would do on the cross, and he sees that Jesus would take our place. He sees that Jesus would be wounded for our transgressions, that Jesus would be bruised for our iniquities. And he says the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. Hallelujah. So just as surely as Jesus bore our sin, did he? Did he pay for our sin? Amen. How do you accept that? How do you accept that payment for sin? You accept it by faith, don't you?
Yes.
When we receive our healing, we accept our healing the same way. Amen. So Jesus, In the work of redemption, Jesus paid for our healing just as surely as he paid for our sins. Amen?
Yes.
Just as surely. Our salvation, our forgiveness and cleansing from sin is guaranteed because we know that Jesus bore our sins and our transgressions, and he was wounded for our transgressions. In the same way, by his stripes, we are healed. Amen? Let's go to Matthew chapter 8, verse 16. In Matthew 8, verse 16, it says, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits of the word and healed a few who were sick. Did I read the Reverse Standard Version again? He healed how many who were sick?
All.
Would that include you, if you were there in that time?
Amen.
Well, yeah, boy, if I could only have been there back then. Well, the Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
Hebrews 13:8 says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he healed all then, he's still healing all today. Amen? He healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. It's interesting that there Matthew is quoting Isaiah 53:4, which we've just read, which says, Surely he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. And I told you that can also be translated sickness and pain. Well, here in Matthew translates it as infirmities or pains and sicknesses. So it says, so Jesus fulfilled that. He took our infirmities and he bore our sicknesses. Now let's go to 1 Peter 2:24. In 1 Peter 2:24 it says, Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we having died to sins might live for righteousness. By whose stripes you what? I love that. That's past tense now. By whose stripes you were healed. Watch this now. Watch this. So Isaiah, when Isaiah says writes it, it says, by his stripes we are healed. Isaiah is looking into the future 700 years. In Matthew, when Jesus healed the people there, and Matthew records, so it would be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Wait a minute. Had Jesus been to the cross yet? When Matthew recorded that, when Matthew recorded it, he had been, but when it was happening and Matthew observed it, no, it hadn't. He hadn't been to the cross yet. It's like Jesus pulled out his Holy Ghost credit card. I know Dave Ramsey might not appreciate this, but in this instance, it works okay. All right, it's legitimate. All right, he pulled out his Holy Ghost credit card and he says, "I'm going to go ahead and allow them to enjoy their healing right now, and I'm going to pay for it later." Basically, he's reaching into the future. I know what I'm going to do. So to pay for their healing, so I'm going to go ahead and let them enjoy it right now. Amen?
Amen.
Now, don't go out of here tonight and say, Pastor says it's all right for us just to go out and buy anything we want to with a credit card so we can enjoy it now. That's not what I'm saying, okay? All right? And so he's looking forward and he's reaching into the future and he's saying, I'm going to pay for your healing, but I'm just going to go ahead and get it and let you enjoy it right now. Amen? That's what happened in Matthew 8. In 1 Peter 2:24, Peter is looking back. It's already been done. It's already been accomplished. And that's why Peter says, by whose stripes you were healed. Praise God. Listen, if Jesus could reach forward into the future and minister healing to them based on something he had not yet done, but he knew that he would do, how much more should we be able to reach back and say, you know, he did it. He did it. He already did it. So I'm going to appropriate what he did, and I'm going to apply it in my life today, 2,000 years later. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Reason number three why your healing is guaranteed. Turn to your neighbor and say, your healing is guaranteed. Turn to another neighbor and tell them, your healing is guaranteed. I was trying to get Roland and Barbara to look at each other one time and say, y'all aren't mad at each other, are you? Because the first time Barbara looked at Roy, Roy looked over at James. And I said, turn to another neighbor. So surely they'll. And so then, so Roy looks at Barbara. Barbara looks over this way at Katie. So Roy and Barbara turn to each other and say, your healing is guaranteed.
Your healing is guaranteed.
I feel a lot better now. Thank you. All right. All right. Reason number three. All sickness and disease is part of the curse of the law. And Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law. That's the third reason why your healing is guaranteed, because all sickness and all disease falls under the curse of the law. So how do you know that? Well, listen to this. Deuteronomy 28, verse 58, it says, if you do not care, this is the curse of the law right here. If you do not carefully observe all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring upon you, and we know that literally that should have been translated in the permissive sense rather than the causative sense. God's not literally trying to find sickness and put it on them, but they were, if they didn't obey Him and follow Him, they came out from under His protection, and so the sickness and disease that was there would hit them, okay? And He says, the Lord will bring upon you and your descendants extraordinary plagues, great and prolonged plagues, and serious and prolonged sicknesses. Moreover, He will bring back on you all the diseases of Egypt of which you were afraid. and they shall cling to you. Verse 61, also every sickness and every plague, which is not written in this book of the law, will the Lord bring upon you or permit until you are destroyed. So he mentions a bunch of them in the previous verses here, and then he kind of summarizes them. He said, oh yeah, by the way, he said, we'll include everything. Every sickness and every disease that's not written here. So all the ones that are written and all the ones that aren't written, that's all part of the curse of the law. Can you see that? Can we agree on that in here tonight? Amen. So that's all part of the curse of the law. But the good news is Galatians 3:13. Well, praise God. Look at this. Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Amen. Amen. We can read it this way. Christ has redeemed us from every sickness and every plague. Why? Because every sickness and every plague is part of the curse of the law. Christ has redeemed us from every sickness and every plague, the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. When did He redeem us from the curse of the law? When He died on the cross and God laid our sin and our sickness on Him. He redeemed us from, He purchased us out from under the curse of the law. Thank God.
Thank you, Jesus.
He purchased us out from under every sickness and every plague. So every sickness, every disease, every infirmity, every plague, every physical infirmity, that's part of the curse of the law. But the good news is Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And I think we ought to say right now, Christ has redeemed me.
From the curse of the law.
Come on, come on, get a hold of this. You know, if you're just saying it because, oh, well, pastor's making us say, it won't do you a lot of good. But if you get a hold of it and you say it in faith,
yes,
it can activate healing in your body. So say it again. Say, Christ has redeemed me,
from the curse of the law.
I am redeemed
from
every sickness.
Every plague,
every infirmity,
every disease,
I am redeemed
because Christ has redeemed me.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Reason number four that your healing is guaranteed is this. Healing is a mercy. Healing is a mercy. That means it's a free gift. That means it is not earned. Again, the devil would tell you, well, you know, you don't qualify, or you haven't earned this, or you haven't done this, or you haven't been good enough, you know. And there's this, sometimes we study and we've got books, and we have books in our bookstore here, Seven Hindrances to Healing. And it's a good book, and I would encourage you to read it. And there's that side of it that we need to look at. But sometimes if we get focused on that side of it, we get focused on, oh, well, you know, this is why I didn't get healed, or this one. And if you just focus on that, you'll lose your confidence. That's why I'm trying to encourage you today. There are seven reasons, and there's more, but seven is a good, you know, that's a good number, you know. That's a good holy number. So seven reasons why our healing is, you can find more if you look in the Bible. But I'm pointing out to you to build your confidence, to build our confidence tonight. Seven reasons why our healing is guaranteed. Turn to your neighbor again and say, I'm not going to look and see who you look at this. And say, your healing is guaranteed. Turn to him again and say, my healing is guaranteed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Healing is a mercy. Reason number four, healing is a mercy. It's a free gift. It is not earned. Matthew 14:14. It says, and when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. Why did he heal them? His compassion. His compassion. Do you think he's just as compassionate today?
Yes.
Do you think he's lost any of his compassion? See, we need to have an accurate picture of Jesus. We need to see the Bible, Jesus. Amen. He's full of compassion. You read through the Old Testament and the New, and you find out that God over and over says about Himself that He's gracious and merciful, that He's full of compassion, He's slow to anger, and of great mercy. Aren't you glad that He is? And healing is included in this. In his, we receive healing because of His mercy, because of His compassion. He saw a great multitude, and He was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. Praise God. Here's a that's a general, that's an overview there, but let's zoom in now. Let's zoom in and let's look at an individual case here. Actually, there's two blind men. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 27, it says, when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed Him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have what?
Mercy.
Have mercy on us. Well, that got His attention. That got His attention. When you cry out for His mercy, when you appeal to His mercy, that gets His attention because He's great in mercy. Hallelujah. The Bible we read Sunday in Ephesians 2, it says that God is rich in mercy. He's rich in mercy. Amen. That means His mercy doesn't run out. Amen. If someone is rich, that means they're not living paycheck to paycheck. Sometimes we think God is living paycheck to paycheck when it comes to His mercy. Well, I just don't know if He'd be merciful to me today. I might have used it all up last week. No, He's rich in mercy. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Aren't you glad?
Yes.
Praise God. And so they said, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when He had come into the house, the blind men came to Him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I'm able to do this? They said to Him, yes, Lord. Then He touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. And their eyes were open. And somebody says, see there, right there, I just don't know if my faith is strong enough. No, I think the situation is, I think what it is Jesus located them and got them to put their faith in the right place. A lot of times our faith is not in the right place. Jesus didn't say, do you believe that your faith can accomplish this? That's not the question He asked them. I want you to notice that tonight. What did He say? Do you believe that I'm able to do this? Where's all the responsibility going now? It's going back to Jesus, isn't it? Whose job is it to produce the healing? The blind men?
No.
It's Jesus' job to perform the healing and produce the healing, right?
Yes.
But He said, all I need you to do is just believe that I'm able to do it. And they said, yeah, Lord, we believe You're able. Amen. That makes faith a lot easier, doesn't it? Instead, sometimes we get, the devil trips us up here and says, well, you just don't have enough faith. Your faith is not strong enough. Your faith is not developed enough. Your faith is not this or that. Well, no, that means we've got our faith misplaced if we're thinking that way. That means our faith is in our faith. And there's a truth there. Where we need to have confidence that our faith in God will work, but our faith is not in our faith. Our faith is in God.
Amen.
Amen. You know, if your faith is in, well, I gotta, my faith has got to perform this. No, it doesn't. Your faith has to rest in God. Your faith has to rest in God's ability. Your faith has to rest in what God can do and what He's expressed that He will do.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. And I latch my faith into that. Yes, Lord, I believe You're able to do this. You've done it over and over. And my goodness, and we ought to be even more assured that He's able to do it because we're able to read all the examples of where He did it. And we're able to read in Hebrews where we quoted earlier that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so when we're faced with that question, do you believe that I'm able to do this for you? Then we ought to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Then He touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. And their eyes were opened. Hallelujah. But what was it? What was it all based on? It was all based on what? His mercy. They appealed to His mercy, didn't they?
Yes.
Amen. Look at this scripture. I love this. It's one of my favorite passages in the Bible. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Amen. Can we earn forgiveness for our iniquities? No, that's solely based on God's mercy, isn't it? Amen? That's solely based on His mercy. He forgives all our iniquities. That's a benefit of His mercy. He heals how many of our diseases? The same God that forgives all our iniquities heals all our diseases, both because of His mercy. Amen. Your healing, my healing, is guaranteed because healing is a mercy. Healing is a free gift. Healing is not earned. Amen. It's a free gift. It belongs to you. Praise God. Reason number five. Reason number five that our healing is guaranteed is because God's Word itself, God's Word is medicine to all your flesh. God's Word is medicine to all your flesh. Look at this passage, Proverbs 4. He says, "My son, give attention to what? My words. Incline your ear to what? My sayings. Do not let them what? His words and His sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes, but keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them." That would really, if we really got a hold of this, if we really remember this and understand this, that would motivate you. You wouldn't have to say, "Oh, I got to read my Bible today. Oh, I forgot. I need to read my Bible." No, His words and His sayings are life to those who find them. Amen. And notice this, and health to all their flesh. One translation says medicine. God's Word is medicine to our flesh. You know, in the natural, we have medicine, but I don't know of any medicine that's an all-purpose. What's your condition? What are your symptoms? What are you dealing with? Well, I got this. Well, you need to take that. Well, what are you dealing with? Well, I got this. Well, you need to take this. But we've got one all-purpose medicine that's medicine to our flesh. It's not just medicine to your soul or to your spirit. It is that. But it's medicine to our flesh. It's very clear. They're life. These words, His words and His sayings are life to those who find them, and health or medicine to all their flesh. Look at the New Living Translation. "My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life," look at this, "for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body." God's words bring healing to our whole body. So how could healing not be His will? You know, would God, if healing is not His will and you open up your Bible and it's not God's will for you to be healed. No, don't open that up. Don't open that. You're going to get a hold of something you don't need right now. You're going to get a hold of something that's not my will for you right now. Wouldn't that be silly? No. He's filled His words with life and with healing and health through our body. That tells me my healing is guaranteed. That when I come to Him for healing, I don't have to wonder if He wants me to have it. It's guaranteed because He filled His very words with life and health and medicine to my body. Wow. Glory to God. That's why it's so valuable if you're attacked with sickness, just to get the Scriptures out, particular Scriptures that pertain to healing, and just start saying them and just start reading them over your life. Why? You're taking medicine. It works better than any natural, any medicine that's in the natural. Amen?
Amen?
Praise God. We're not opposed to any of that, but this is the best stuff. And it's a blanket cure. Whatever the condition,
Amen.
The answer's right here.
Thank you.
It's medicine to our flesh. Praise God. Reason number six that why your healing is guaranteed. Turn to your neighbor one more time and say, "Your healing is guaranteed."
Your healing is guaranteed.
And say to him again, "My healing is guaranteed."
My healing is guaranteed.
Hallelujah. All right. Reason number six. Reason why your healing is guaranteed. The Holy Spirit who lives in you will quicken your body or give life. The word quicken means to give life. Will give life. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. It says the Spirit, and this is the New Living Translation, still in the New Living. The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. How was Jesus raised from the dead? The Bible says the Spirit of God raised Him from the dead. The Spirit, think about this. Let's stop and think about this for a minute. Let's don't just gloss over this or miss this. Think about this. The body of Jesus, was it in bad shape? After the scourging and the crucifixion?
Yes.
Can we agree that it was in bad shape?
Yes.
Spirit of God raised Jesus from the dead. That's a pretty good work. Amen. Spirit of God raised Jesus' body from the dead. Well, guess what? The Spirit of God lives in you. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies. Well, Pastor, that's talking about at the resurrection after we die. Well, it is talking about He'll resurrect us, but if He's living in you now, don't you think that He can give life to your body now? Don't you think that He can bring healing and health to your body now?
Yes.
You should do that. Whenever you're attacked with sickness and disease, you should say, Holy Spirit, You live on the inside of me. I thank You that You quicken me now, that You quicken my body right now, that You give life to my body right now and drive out all sickness and all pain and all disease now in Jesus' name. Amen? Hallelujah. I feel better already. Glory. Amen. He will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. Like Dad Hagin used to say, what is the Holy Spirit doing on the inside of you? Is He just a hitchhiker? Did you just pick up a hitchhiker? Well, I'll just ride with you wherever you're going. No, He's not in us just to be a hitchhiker. He's in us to lead us and to guide us and to comfort us and to help us and to quicken our bodies. To bring life to our bodies. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. All right, the last one. Reason number seven. Reason seven that your healing is guaranteed. Your healing is guaranteed because God is your loving Heavenly Father. Look at Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Verse number 7. Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. There's no stronger assertion in the English language that He could have used here. He didn't say maybe so. He didn't say hope so. He didn't say might. He said ask and it will. The King James says shall. There's no stronger assertion than shall or will in this case. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Is that a guarantee?
Yes.
It absolutely is, isn't it? For a few who ask, receive. Who?
Everyone.
Who?
Everyone.
For everyone who asks, receives. That sounds like a guarantee to me.
Amen.
Everyone who asks, receives. Well, I know somebody that... Well, are you calling Jesus a liar? Well, I asked one time and I didn't. Are you calling Jesus a liar? Jesus said, everyone who asks, receives. And he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? This is like the old saying, well, yeah, Pastor, I know. God always... That's not what He said. He didn't say He always answers. He says, everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. To him who knocks, it'll be opened. And then He says, again, look at what He says here. What man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? And that's a rhetorical question. What's the answer? Of course, the answer is no. If a son comes to a father and asks for bread, the father's not going to say, "Here, have this." You know, "Ah, I broke my tooth, Dad. Yeah, I tricked you." Now, what father is going to do that? No. Any father is going to give them, if they ask for bread of the son, the father's going to give bread to the son, right? Yes. Amen. Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? Here, you know, here's some catfish. Oh, sorry, it was a viper. Sorry you got bit, son. That's sadistic, isn't it? That's not what a father does. He says, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" And so again, this blows apart the statement that you maybe have heard. Oh, well, yes, God always answers. Sometimes he says yes. Sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says, "Wait a while." That's not what the scripture says. Or, you know, you maybe heard the poem, "I asked God for this, but instead he knew I needed this, so he gave me this." That's not scriptural either. Amen. "Hey, I asked God for this, but he knew I needed this burden, so he put this on me." That's not scriptural. Don't believe everything you read on Facebook.
Amen.
There might be some good things on there, but a lot of people post a lot of things trying to be, you know, they're trying to be encouraging, I guess. But it's not scriptural. Amen. Stick with the Word.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. All right. So he says, if we know how to give good gifts to our children, look, verse 11 then, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Our healing is guaranteed because God is our loving Heavenly Father. If you ask him for healing, what's he going to give you?
Healing.
Healing. Amen. Well, how do we know that? How do we know healing qualifies for that? Well, Jesus said here, your Father in heaven will give good things. Everybody say good things.
Good things.
Remember Acts 10:38 that we read earlier, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing
good
and healing. Doing good and healing. Doing good and healing. That's synonymous. Good and healing. Healing is good. Sickness is bad. Any questions? Amen.
Amen.
All right. And so let's keep it clear on that. So our Heavenly Father will give good things to those who ask him. We know healing is a good thing. So our healing is guaranteed. One final scripture under this heading here, Matthew 15. The Syrophoenician woman came to Jesus and was asking for him to heal and deliver her daughter. Now, she was outside the covenant. Jesus had told her, "I was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And then the Bible says that she came and worshiped him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered and said, verse 26, we'll pick it up. He answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread." Whose bread?
Children's.
What? To take what?
Children's.
The children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Now, healing, so what Jesus is saying here, what is she asking for? She's asking for healing. Amen. So he said, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. In other words, he's telling her, "Ma'am, you don't have a right to healing." But he really wasn't trying to keep her from healing. He just wanted her to be able to claim her right where she could. And so she did. She said, "Yes." She said, "Yes, Lord. But even the little dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." And Jesus, and when we get to heaven, we're going to see a movie of this, and you're going to say, "Pastor was right. He was right." I know that a big smile came across Jesus' face when she said that. And Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. She was what?
Healed.
She was healed. What did she get? She just got a crumb that fell from the table. She just got a crumb that fell from the table, and it was enough to heal and deliver her daughter. And Jesus said, healing is the children's bread. Healing belongs to the children. Who are you? Are you a child of your Heavenly Father?
Yes.
Amen. We're children of our Heavenly Father. Healing belongs to us. Healing is right there in the refrigerator. It's right there in the pantry. And there's not a lock on the door. I said, there's not a lock on the door. Amen. It's free. We've never put a lock on our refrigerator for our kids. They know that anytime they want anything to eat, all they've got to do is go in the pantry, open up the refrigerator, and they can help themselves, right?
Amen.
You're that way with your kids, I know. And so it belongs. It belongs to them. Amen. Just like healing belongs to you. Why? Because you have a loving Heavenly Father who has provided healing for you. Amen.
Amen.
Your healing, my healing, it's guaranteed. Amen.